Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my good friend, Dan. And on this week's show, we are talking to one of the most talented swimmers currently based at City of Manchester Aquatics.
Yeah, this week we've got a swimmer who is starting to make big waves up in Manchester. He's extremely hardworking, and it seems like all of his hard work is now paying off after he earned his international debut at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham last year. This might just be the beginning, though, because I'm very interested to find out what his plans are for the upcoming few years.
Yes, so let's have a listen for what's to come as we speak to Jamie Ingram.
When we were at Mare Nostrum last year, I went to go and get something to eat, and I've come back, and there's a fella sat opposite where I was going to be sitting. Who's this? And so talking to him, he said, I said, so you're coaching? He says, yeah, I'm with him. Points to Govorov. Oh, wow. So we're talking about sprinting and stuff, and he was wearing an LA Current shirt. I said, oh, you coach for the ISL then? He says, yeah, he does some work in my master's project for uni. So I did a maths degree. So my master's project was looking at an alternative ranking system for ISL. So I tell him about that, and so I sent him a copy of my report when I'd finished, and then he just sent me a message a few months later saying I'm setting up a pro team in Hawaii. Do you want to come and swim with us for a bit? I thought, yeah, all right, I'll give it a go.
Man,
they're there for the taking. I think I can have them. I think looking at how I swam short course, none of those other lads have progressed in short course really over the past 2 years. Mm. If anything, it's like a slight regression. Mm. And I'm improving, and I know I can take that into long course. Mm. I know I'm training better than ever, and it's that self belief now as well that I can go in and swim fast.
So before we get into this week's conversation with Jamie, where we talk about his training camp in Hawaii, all things Manchester swimming, and his outlook ahead of the rest of the season after his debut at the Commonwealth Games, a quick announcement that the Propulsion Swimming podcast now has its own YouTube channel. With Propulsion Swimming growing so much over the next year with projects we are going to be putting up on our main channel, we wanted the podcast to have its own space to grow. We are looking to share clips from our best podcasts over the past 3 years, as well as our continuing podcast with the best of UK swimming. So if you are watching over on YouTube, please subscribe to this new channel. And if you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast providing platforms, go ahead. The link is in the description of this podcast. Go join our growing community for the UK's leading swimming podcast. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's podcast with Jamie Ingram. Please welcome onto the podcast City of Manchester swimmer, Commonwealth Games silver medalist, courtesy of a heat swim in the 4x1 freestyle relay, and the man with the best mohawk in swimming, Jamie Ingram. Jamie, thank you for coming onto the podcast. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. I know Dan's probably quite cold where he is because he refuses to pay for heating bills, but we're good.
That's the way to do it, though, I think. Don't bother paying, just put a jumper.
So I think the best place to start for this podcast is kind of introduce people to your journey through swimming, because it is an interesting one, and it's almost like the perfect example of what a swimmer's journey through the sport to me should be. So you started at Ripley, if I'm correct, which is a very small club, when you were 12. You then moved to Derby and DaVincio.
Yeah, just to DaVincio, yeah. So I was still a member of Ripley.
And then, yeah.
DaVincio was like the county performance squad.
Yeah, and you were there until you were 19, and then you moved to Manchester essentially for university, and that's where you are now. And like I said, it's very much like the perfect LTAD model for swimmers to progress through the sport. So how would you say your pathway through swimming has almost helped you get to where you are today? Almost those stages of clubs, how have they helped you become the swimmer you are at this moment?
Well, it's like a natural progression, isn't it? So it's like the local club that was in the leisure centre that we did learn to swim. And then, I was swimming fast enough. There were a lot of people came through Ripley. So like Molly Renshaw was at Ripley. There are loads of others that came through Ripley that just swam at Summit DX. So it was like quite a big thing to get invited. So we started part time, maybe three or four sessions a week, something like that. And then went full time, and then I think when I was about 12 or 13. And then I just got older. It's still quite a young squad at Daventio. I presume because there's not like Derby Uni's there, but it's not like a big draw for swimmers coming in.
It's quite close to Loughborough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fairly close to Loughborough. We're maybe 40 minutes away from Loughborough, something like that.
Yeah.
Through Daventio, and then I was then going to uni, and that this squad we've got in Manchester, same as it was back then, is a very adult squad. So I went from being the oldest at DX pretty much to one of the youngest in our squad, because we had Sam Horrocks and Tom Payne were both, I don't know, maybe 23, 24 when I joined. That kind of thing.
Do you think following that sort of classic LCAD model of working your way up through the sort of smaller feeder clubs up to the more elite clubs, do you reckon that's why you're now starting to see success in the sport and why you seem to be getting bigger improvements as we go?
Yeah, I think so. And I think because when you're young and you're at that level, there are people that are faster than you, aren't there? So you're trying to beat them. And you beat them, and you go into DX, and there's then people a couple of years older that you're trying to beat, and then you eventually beat them, and then came to Manchester, and I've got Horrocks and T-Pain there, and now I'm trying to beat them, and then eventually I beat them, and now it's almost like I can look at that then nationally, and then ultimately globally, isn't it? So there's always it's quite a nice step, and there's always someone there.
It's almost like mini goals then, if you like. It's almost like little targets every now and again, rather than just going straight from, let's say, Ripley all the way up to Manchester or the national centres, then you sort of miss out those little goals as you go.
Absolutely. And I think as well then, because these are all people that I'm training with, that I'm trying to beat, it's easy to measure that every day, isn't it? Because you say, I beat him on Monday, I beat him on Tuesday, beat him on Wednesday. When we race, I'm going to have him.
Should be able to beat him.
Do you think that constant progression has helped you stay in the sport to the age you are now?
Yeah, probably. I think as well, having the 2 years out with COVID, wasn't it? It's also I've got more in me.
So it's not that like, that wasn't that didn't knock you out then. Because I know at that point where you're a senior swimmer, having 2 years out, it would have been quite easy to look at your career and drop out of the sport.
Yeah, but it was fortunate enough, I was still in uni.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to go out and start
find
working.
Yeah.
So I'd managed to split my third year of my degree in half anyway. And the COVID started in the first year of that, so it was, and then I did an extra year as a master's year as well. So it was almost like I had like still another 3 years of the degree when we had COVID. So I could just do what we did on land, and I think that helped me a lot, you know, because I managed to take a bar and some weight plates from the aquatic centre, and when we were living there, like three or four of us swimmers living in a house, so we'd set up the garage as a gym, and we just got a lot stronger. And then obviously when we've come into swimming, then we've got that extra strength that we probably wouldn't have got if we were still swimming that like the normal amount.
Okay, it is interesting, because me and Dan have constantly discussed, like, has that pause in racing really helped a lot of swimmers transition from age group swimmers over to senior? Because there is, if you just look at the world of international swimming right now, the fast times are being swam by your 20-year-olds, if you think Summer McIntosh, 16-year-olds, they've kind of had that little pause. Maybe that was helpful, and it sounds like it was helpful for you as well.
It was helpful for me, it was helpful for me, and as well, I think it gives you a thing like, you're not going to put in all the effort into circuits and stuff on Zoom at home if you're not that arsed about swimming. Like it's quite easy, I think, for people to get into the habit of just turning up to the pool, don't they? You just turn up, you do some lengths, and you go home again. Whereas if you're... Yeah, and that's just a habit. Whereas then if you're having to do it off your own volition, do it off your own back, then you're going to put, not necessarily more into it, but it's going to be a conscious effort, isn't it, rather than just going through the motions.
It's almost like they've learnt self-motivation, I guess. And I suppose you've got a lot of self-motivation as well, because we've done a bit of research and you'll have to help us out with this, because you were the winner of the TASS Stars Award for the most committed athletes, or the TSS. You'll have to explain that first of all before we go into it. But what's it like to be recognised for all that hard work that you're now putting in?
It's good. It's really good, to be honest. Yeah, so TASS is a Talented Athlete Support Scheme. So they're like I think it's like a step below like a world-class podium support thing. But yeah, it is just a support for athletes. So it's always, in the past, it's always been like for, you can only be eligible if you're a uni student, and it gets like reviewed every year, and they give you like a physio support or like lifestyle and all that kind of that kind of thing. But this now they've changed it so anyone can be on it, so you don't have to be at uni, which is nice, because it means I'm still on it and I can still use the physio stuff that I was using weekly, which actually has worked out really well for me. But it's just being recognised. Always nice, because these are the people awarding that award are people that see however many hundreds of elite athletes every year. And so it's nice having that confirmation that I'm going well, and these
on the right track.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on the right track.
Yeah.
And that hard work definitely paid off last summer with a spot on England's commies team. If I'm right, was that your first international squad?
Yeah, first one.
Can you describe that moment for you, especially after 2 years out and your journey through the sport? How was that for you to get onto that squad, and what was it like in Birmingham?
I came third at trials, and they could take up to three for the team. I think I was the 700 freestyler. And then third 100 fly from England, so I think Mark wasn't at the session on the I think it was a Wednesday night, we got an email saying there's a squad, but I was swimming, Mark wasn't there. He's rang the assistant coach and said, go and tell Jamie check his emails. Jamie, go and check your emails
in the middle of a session.
And I'm looking, it's like here's your selection of the. Selection of the team, I was like, bloody hell. Bloody hell, this is mint. And then probably the nicest thing is then get to ring my mum and dad and just say, are you sitting down?
Did you get back in the pool afterwards? Let's say you're doing a two-hour session, they called you out after an hour. Did you get back into the second hour after that?
And the second hour just went by so fast.
I bet it did, yeah.
because that was my goal was to... I've got an outside chance of making this team. I thought it was the qualifying, or like the consideration time was about 0.3 faster than I'd been on that 100 fly so far. Probably just missed it, but then, got in.
And what was it like as a home games? Because you could have your parents in the crowd. I hear the Birmingham atmosphere on poolside was pretty special.
Yeah, it was great. It's one of them though, you know, because I don't have any other international experience. I've not got anything to compare it to. I don't know. I don't really know a difference. Like that's my baseline now. What I expect. No, but it was just so many people, and it's so loud. But it's really weird because for the racing we walk out from underneath where the crowd was, and so the side that we look at when we face as we're walking out is all the media, and there's relatively not that many, and then you turn around and there's this big steep bank of people. There's a lot of people there. Yeah, but it was nice for me though, having I had the relay before I had the individual.
Yeah, settle the nerves a bit.
Yeah, so that was nice to be, because then I'm with three other people. So obviously Joe and Cam Curl are both Olympians, aren't they? Mildred's done a lot as a junior. So for them it was quite natural just walking out and going through that process behind the scenes. So like, because I have to check your hat and goggles and stuff for, I think for like the branding's not too large or whatever. Was like I can just copy them and then it's dead easy for me.
Did you feel any pressure on your shoulders because it's your first time being an international athlete effectively? Did you feel pressure or sort of get any nerves or anything like that?
Yeah, I was trembling so much on the block for that relay.
Yeah.
Because realistically, I thought, as long as I don't go early, we're probably going to win a medal.
Yeah.
Like because we knew all four of us were going to be out of the team for the final. So it was like, we just have to get this.
No
fires. That was quite nice. And that the actual but the actual time I swam didn't really matter.
Okay.
It was just, right. I just had to be there and do well enough.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good, but yeah, I was trembling. But then it was nice having that as a good swim for me on that relay, because then it felt like I do belong here. I'm not just here to be taken along. I can compete here.
Yeah,
which was nice. Which I think then set me up well then for the individual. It was like two days later.
Yeah, absolutely. And that individual then, how would you rate your performance at your first international individual?
I did pretty well.
Yeah.
To be fair, especially that heat was great because that was a PB. Won that heat, went through second into the semis. Yeah, it was good. So I had all three swims were under my old PB.
Mm.
All three swims I came back sub 28, which I'd never done before that meet, which was good. I just almost would have rather the times were the opposite way around because I got about a tenth slower each round.
Okay.
But I think a lot of that is just knowing, or is that experience, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's not often you get to race heat semi-final finals, is it?
Yeah.
Was that your first experience of that?
No, I've done it once when I was 16.
Okay.
We had it. It was when nationals used to be heat semis and final.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've done it once, but that's eight years ago. It's never
really gone the same. You can't compare, can you?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Manchester, the swimming club, so City of Manchester Aquatics. We said beforehand, me and Dan have actually never had anyone on this podcast from Manchester. So I'm going to put it to you like this. You finish your degree in Manchester, the university. Mm-hmm. Why was staying on at the City of Manchester the right place for you?
Well, I only finished my degree in the summer just gone.
Okay.
So for me, it was just a natural. I've dropped all this time in the past year, 2 years since coming back. Why would I go anywhere, or where else would there be to go? And I was just enjoying the swimming here. It just made sense to be here.
Yeah. Never been so a thought of moving to a national centre at all.
Nope, not really. But also I don't know if they'd want me anyway, but I'm not that fussed. I'm quite happy improving here in the lurking in Manchester.
So what's the setup of the club like then? Because I would say it's probably more known for its para swimming, because that's where the national centre is based, I believe.
Yeah.
So how do the training hours work when it comes to pool time when there's so many different squads involved?
Yeah, so that's what's hard now, especially because the pool's having a refurb.
Mm.
So we've got there are two pools in. You've been to Manchester, the pool before, I think.
I've been to the 50. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the 50 metre pool, then there's another 50 metre pool in the basement.
Okay.
There's a 4-lane 50 metre pool there with a gym. So that's where para are based.
Right, okay.
Obviously now with the refurb, we're swimming there every evening. Mm. So they've got the boom in at 25. So we have one half, 4 lanes, and then para have the other half. And then when they're done like that, the squad below ours will get in there. And then when we're done, the squad below that will get in our side. So he's almost runs quite well there.
Yeah.
And there's another pool near the Etihad Stadium that we do some of our mornings in.
Okay.
Which is not short of pool time then. Yeah.
Yeah, like we do all right. It helps that it's Mark Rose, our coach, is the guy who allocates the pool time.
So that
plays into our favour a bit.
with the refurb that's going on, I think it's due to finish this summer. Have you noticed almost, as a senior swimmer, have you noticed any reduction in hours on you at all? Because there's obviously less pool time.
There is less, but for me, no, not really. We've still got our 9 sessions a week, two to 2.5 hours each one. Yeah, we're right. I think they've done a good job. I think of managing it.
Yeah, because I can imagine it could have been almost not a disaster, but losing a whole 50-meter pool for, I think it's like 18 months, isn't it? A year.
Yeah,
that's a big amount of time for that pool time to disappear.
Yeah, definitely, because it stopped last December. It shut. Yeah, so we're a year and a bit into it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, I think they've managed it pretty well. Our training's not really been affected. I think that's one of the benefits. So I think quite a lot of the time that downstairs pool wasn't necessarily being used a lot during the day.
Okay.
So do you think there's like a reallocation? Yeah.
Do you think there maybe once that pool's done, there's chance for a bit of growth over there?
I think so. I think that's what we're trying to do. Like we're rebranding our squad, like our top squad now, as a pro squad.
Yeah.
So we get quite a lot of council support and subsidy, I think.
Mm.
So we're just trying to get that and get other like-minded people, because we've had a lot of people coming through pretty much since COVID. We've had a lot of people coming through swimming well. Mm. Like we had like three of them went on the European Juniors last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had me and Mikey Jones on Commonwealths. We had two other girls won national golds at this short course just gone.
Mm.
So we're just getting in more people that want to work hard and want to swim well.
You can
kind of see why you don't really want to leave, because obviously the setup seems pretty good, the results seems to be going quite well, so I can see why you want to stay. Makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, you did step away from the cold of Manchester for a brief period last year to go and train in Hawaii, just to make everyone listening very jealous. How was that? How did that come about?
Yeah, so that was lovely. That was like 28 degrees as a minimum all day, every day.
Sounds like a dream.
All through October and November. Yeah, that was cool. So that was, there's a guy called Elliot Potasnik.
Okay.
When we were at Mare Nostrum last year, I went to go and get something to eat, and I've come back, and there's a fella sat opposite where I was going to be sitting. Who's this? And so I talking to him, and he said, "Oh, so you're coaching?" He says, "Yeah, I'm with him." Points to Govorov. Oh wow! So we're talking about sprinting and stuff, and he was wearing an LA Current shirt. I said, "Oh, you coach for the ISL then?" He says, "Yeah, it does some work." And my master's project for uni, so I did a maths degree. So my master's project was looking at an alternative ranking system for ISL.
Okay.
A ranking system that would be better than the rubbish they had in place at the minute. So I tell him about that, and so I sent him a copy of my report when I'd finished, and then he just sent me a message a few months later saying I'm setting up a pro team in Hawaii. Do you want to come and swim with us for a bit? Yeah, all right, I'll give it a go.
Man.
Not going to say no to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because he coached Govorov last year, and then he's good mates with Anthony Irvin as well.
Yeah.
So, and that, in my head, that's the area that my swimming's lacking the most at the minute, is that top-end speed.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, like, because like my 100th fly, my front-end speed's the same as my 50 PB.
Mm.
So if I can get that top-end speed higher, I was thinking, then my easy speed will then be faster naturally, and I know I can come home well.
Mm.
So So I went there for about 7 weeks.
I bet you never thought your maths degree would get you that opportunity.
Yeah, no. you wouldn't have thought so.
So how was it all funded? Did you have to fund it yourself, or did you get support to go there? How did it work?
Yeah, it was just all myself.
Right, okay.
It's an expensive place to live, Hawaii.
Oh, really?
For some reason, they were telling me that Hawaii grows enough produce and has the facilities to be completely self-sufficient. But apparently they export everything, which means they have to then import everything again.
Okay.
Which then means the prices are ridiculous.
Interesting. Do you think you came away from that training camp with the end goal of increasing your top end speed? Do you think you've achieved that, or is it too early to tell?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell, but I think probably, yeah. I think I must have done, because I think I PB'd 53 and 50 fly at the Winter Nationals.
Yeah.
Which was good, considering I'd got back from Hawaii on the Sunday and then raced on the Monday. Raced on the Friday. So it was only a few days of waking up at 3 a.m.
What sort of stuff were you working on out there?
We did a lot of resistance training. Before I went, I'd never used a parachute before in training. And we were using it there like three times a week. And that's one of the things we've started doing a lot more now at Manchester, because I told Mark, I said, like, I feel like it's really beneficial. Like, you can feel where you slip in water, or where your fly kicks underwater are too big, or you're losing speed because it's everything's so exaggerated with that parachute.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
We've seen you've put up a few videos of you doing the weight training with really good technique and, you know, power exercises. That was obviously a clear focus out there. What were the main exercises you were doing?
Yeah, so when we were, because our S&C coach here in Manchester is really good, a guy called Lewis Fox, who's worked for Man City's academy, worked for Blackburn Rovers, and first few weeks I was just following the program that we were doing anyway. So it's three days a week, but our main ones are, we do a main lower body, a squat, an RDL as a hamstring movement, then a bench press, another horizontal press, maybe like a weighted press up, so a dumbbell bench or something, and then two variations of pull-ups, and then a lot of core work as well. And then, you know, we'll do like Olympic lifts. So we'll do at the minute. So we'll do them all on rotation. So at the minute, I've been doing cleans from the floor. But that was similar when we were there. A lot of it was focusing on, especially in the last few weeks when we were in Hawaii, was on moving weights quickly. So we did some like power trap bar deadlifts there, which I hadn't done trap bar for a while. It's good. Just moving decent amounts of weight, not necessarily lightweight, but still be some load there, but just moving it fast.
So that's the key to your lifting routine. It's not about how many pounds you can stack on a bar. It's about moving it fast.
That's some of it's definitely about the total weight.
Okay.
Yeah, but then it's, so yeah. So don't get me wrong. We do, so our lifting, we do two strength sessions, one power session a week. So our strength sessions, we are trying to get the numbers up. Mm. The power session, we're still trying to get the numbers up, but it's about moving it fast as well.
Okay.
But we're not necessarily focused just on the absolute number going up, because like if we're benching, we're not benching to get better at bench press. We're doing bench press to get stronger pecs.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So, and when we're doing pull-ups, we're not doing pull-ups to be better at a pull-up. We're doing pull-ups to be better at, or to get our lats stronger, which is why I think some people you see there, they've got a really good, let's say, neutral grip pull-up. They can pull up loads of weight. Put them on a overhand, they're a lot weaker. Whereas like all my pull-ups seem to be the similar kind of weights. I think because we're not just thinking about get chin over the bar, we're thinking about use these muscles in our back that we're trying to target.
I think that is. Sorry, Dan.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say. I wonder if swimmers nowadays actually understand that these exercises are not just for increasing your reps for a pull-up, but actually transitioning them to the swimming. So, do you get that explained to you, or do you already have that knowledge beforehand?
A bit of it's just sort of stuff I've worked out. I think because I'm 24, I've had a lot of time doing stuff in the gym, doing stuff in the pool. I've sort of can work it out.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you're like 17, 18, it's not really something that comes into your brain, is it? Your gym coach has told you we're doing pull-ups, so you do some pull-ups.
Yeah.
I think when you get older, then you can think, why are we doing pull-ups? Oh, we want to get stronger lats.
Yeah.
And why do we want stronger lats? Because that's going to help us pull through the water better. We can fix that elbow easier if we're stronger. Mm. And I think it's that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is so easy to almost be naive about any sort of training, just take it out of context. But if you actually put everything back towards your outcome, which is essentially for you 100 fly, everything needs to link to that. Whatever you're doing, that is the goal, and everyone should probably look at what they're doing away from the pool, in the pool. It all needs to link to your end outcome, which is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think as well, if you've got a good gym coach, I think a lot of that will happen naturally. I've had not so good gym coaches in the past, and I think they're just doing exercises because they're gym coaches that don't necessarily understand swimming. So they just give you some exercises that they've come across on their degree or that's helped them in their sport. That's not necessarily going to have the same benefits as what some of the other exercises might do, or they overcomplicate a program, or it's not planned out that well with the weekly progressions and that kind of thing.
Again, going back to some of the videos that I put up on Instagram, you've done a lot of work, it seems, on the underwater phase, which is obviously extremely key for fly. I mean, how vital, how much work have you done on that in training?
Yeah, look, a lot. Yeah, a lot. And a lot of it's not necessarily the underwater isolated, but it's as part of the set, part of your... Like yesterday morning, we've gone 30-50s fly, best average. And I've been 10 kicks underwater every wall, but they're good quality kicks. Mm. So I think that's what, as well, you can fall into the trap of just doing the kicks, and just try and get through when you push off and start kicking dead fast, and then you end up your fly kicks aren't getting any better.
Okay.
So that's what we try and do a lot of, is anytime I do fly, I'll go 10 fly kicks at speed, pretty much. Mm. So we do a lot of that, and then like with some of the videos, then we've done some resisted. So with that parachute and fins and parachute, because I think with the fins, it's like the speed's exaggerated. Then that means with the parachute, it's like those dead spots are even more exaggerated. Mm.
Yeah.
So while I'm doing my fly kicks now, I feel like my fly kicks are tiny because I'm conscious that before they've been too big. Then when I watch a video, I'm like, oh, they're not small really. They look all right, but it feels like I'm just like bending my knees a little bit.
It's interesting, those minute details that you now get to focus on, essentially, because you've added a parachute into your routine. You've spotted these little things, and to you, obviously, when you look back at the footage, it's not a big change, but to you, the feel, it is a big feel change.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The feel feels massively different,
but
it also feels a lot faster, a lot more direct, which is ideal.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we've spoken a bit about your international debut and all of the work you've done so far this season. How confident And how much extra motivation do you have right now to make a second international team with Worlds coming around this summer?
Yeah, I want to. Absolutely, I want to be. I want to be there because I've still never swum for Britain. I say I want that honour. I want that. Recognition. I want to go.
You've got two Olympians ahead of you, in Jacob Peters and Jimmy Guy. No easy task in making the team.
No, and you're also battling the selection policies.
Yeah.
But they're there for the taking. I think I can have them. I think looking at how I swam short course, none of those other lads have progressed in short course really over the past 2 years. Mm. If anything, it's like a slight regression. Mm. And I'm improving, and I know I can take that into a long course. I know I'm training better than ever, and it's that self belief now as well that I can go in and swim fast.
Yeah. Jimmy, big question then: what is the main aim this season? Whether it's a time, whether it's a place, what's the main aim for 2023?
Win trials, make that world's team.
The self-belief is good. It's unreal, especially when you've got two Olympians ahead of you. The self-belief is really impressive.
Yeah, well, I just want to win it. Want to win it, and then I want to make that Olympics team next year.
Mm. Yeah, and so, I suppose time's not really a factor because, of course, if you beat those two boys, then the time naturally comes with it, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of them like we say with my underwaters are good and improving. That if we're together at 50, I know I'm going to be ahead at 65, and then from there I just got to hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Jamie, it's been so much fun talking to you. We do usually finish our podcast with some quick fire questions so that our listeners can get to know you that little bit better. Do you sound up for those?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Cool. So what is your favourite event?
100 fly.
Who is your swimming idol?
Well, a bit like we spoke about earlier, that I had a lot of idols when I was younger that were just people in the club. So when I was younger, I had Ben Goodall. He was a mental. He came in one Saturday morning. He says, we had Andy Manley was our coach at DaVencio at one point. He says, Andy, I'm doing 4 1000s fly today. All right. So him and Kev Warbank, and then Sam Horrocks, Tom Payne, and then, but then internationally, Konrad Czerniak, and because I watched him, we raced in Amsterdam in December 2015, I think, and his fly is just phenomenal. I don't know if you've watched a lot of him racing, but he's just like skims on the water, so he's so high in the water, he's mint. Mm. And then Adam Barrett is one of my, I've got a photo, so it's funny because I ended up sharing a room with him at Mare Nostrum last year. I've got this photo from 6 years ago of him doing a breakout on my phone this is what you want a breakout to look like.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
That's cool. What is your proudest moment in swimming?
Getting that bronze at trials.
Okay.
This past year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like, right, this is, yeah. I just stand because you get to stand on the podium on your own, not on your own, but with the other two, not like at Winters or whatever, where you have to share a podium. It's like the whole meet stops. You're on the podium, and this is the direction I'm going in.
A good time to soak it all in, type thing, innit?
Yeah.
What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
We did one last year. So last year, when the aquatic centre shut to the public, we were still able to train for a few days. So Mark likes to do like a like a mini camp that's just a beast in. So we did, everything was best average. So we did 400s fly at 400 IM, 400s back 400 IM, 400s breast 400 IM, 400s free 400 IM, twice. And twice. Everything's max. It was, we did that 3 times in 5 days.
Oh, lovely.
Minging. And there's another one we did at the start of a season that's a hard one in a different way. So we did, we split the group in half. One half was doing like a core circuit, and it was like a 11-12 minute circuit, and then everyone in the water was going 12-50s kick max off a minute, but the second 25 was underwater. And that was just well hard. even just trying to make the 25 underwater by the end.
And that's without fins, because, I'm guessing, as well.
Without fins, yeah. Oh. And it's just max the first length, then big breath.
Really
hard.
Wow.
It's tough.
And if you just go on a road trip, there's 3 spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, and celebrities. Who would you take with you? It helps our listeners get to know you that little bit away from swimming.
Yeah, so I'm going to take... I'll take Grant Holt, who's a Norwich City striker, Norwich legend.
Okay, I know the one.
I'll have him. I'll have Louis C.K., comedian, because he's funny, but I've watched so many videos with him speaking now. He's good storyteller. I think that's why I just sit there and listen to stories the whole time. Maybe there's a guy called Anthony Cumia, who American guy, used to have a radio show, and again, he's some really funny stories. I think I'll just sit there and
soak them all
drive
in.
And listen. Yeah, listen to it.
Oh, well, Jamie, it has been so much fun talking to you on this week's podcast. Best of luck for this summer, and hopefully you get that top of the podium finish at trials, and we hopefully will see you there in Sheffield.
Yeah, thanks for talking to me. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you for all the stories about Hawaii, of course. We're all very jealous still about that story and how you got there. But yeah, best of luck for the upcoming season. And of course, hopefully Paris is a go as well in 2 years' time, a year and a half time. So yeah, best of luck to you.
Nice one, thank you.
So Dan, a fascinating chat with one of Manchester's best. The first time we've spoken to anyone from City of Manchester. Looks like a really good club setup. His journey through swimming is certainly like almost like the perfect Swim England example. Go from that small village community club at Ripley, which, to be fair, the swimmers that have come out of Ripley, by the way, there's some big names that have come out of there.
They do a fantastic job.
Going on to DaVincio, Manchester, and now Commonwealth Games, hopefully World Championships this summer. It looks a really exciting time for him.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's got this massive self-belief. Obviously, getting to his first international squad for the Commonwealth Games last year was a massive step for him. Like you say, the classic LCAD model seems to be his biggest success route, if you like. But the self-motivation that he's got, I mean, he's got to compete with Jimmy Guy and Jacob Peters, who are no slouches. They're definitely the top two in this country right now.
They're both Olympic semi-finalists? And Jimmy could have got Olympic final if he didn't pull out?
I think he could have potentially medaled. So that's the kind of caliber that he is competing with. And he has this belief that he actually could topple them. He's even said his aim is to win at champs. And you think, wow, I mean, if he does win, I mean, the qualification time will be no problem if he does win, because I assume Jimmy will hit it, I assume. That was my, well, one of my biggest takeaways. And my other biggest takeaway was the gym work that he's doing and understanding why he's doing it. I know he was making us very jealous out in Hawaii, but the videos that he's putting up that seem to look like tutorial based stuff with amazing technique, and it's all about lifting with speed rather than just doing reps and weight and all that sort of stuff. There's a reason behind everything that he does, and I think there's a good lesson to be learned from that.
Yeah, it put everything into perspective for me, especially if you're a younger swimmer listening to this podcast. You're just about to start a weight routine. It's not just about throwing around big weights. Now, Jamie does throw around some massive weights. I've seen on Instagram, they're huge weights, but there's a reason, And he's everything has to come back. Like I said in the podcast, everything comes back to the outcome of 100 fly. Yeah. It's not he's doing bench so that he gets a one rep max of 100 kilograms. That's an example. It's not for that. It literally is the bigger picture of, well, this links to having stronger chest muscles. A stronger chest muscle means better butterfly. Better butterfly means a better 100 time. You've really got to get that link through every aspect of your training. And it was a really good example to see. Like you said, I'm very jealous of training in Hawaii, but as if a maths degree where you've written your dissertation or thesis, whatever it was, about a better point scoring system to ISL, which I'd love to deep dive with him about, has got him on a training camp with the guy who trains Gorozov.
It certainly seems as though he landed on his feet with that, didn't he?
That's
very, very good going for him. I just think he's done everything right, it seems. He doesn't want to move away from Manchester.
Rightly so.
I know the setup seems great. He's been there for a while since he's been doing his degree. That's now over. He's now a full-time athlete. It seems like he's progressing really well. He hasn't been using parachutes. Like I think in Hawaii, that was his first time using them. And he's now realized, actually, this is a very good piece of equipment that he can use to find or eliminate dead spots on the underwater kicks. So the progression is working. And that's why I think he's finding a bit of success now. And I think, honestly, I think he's got a great chance of being either on the world's team this year or the Olympics team next year. I think if he keeps going, he's going to do it.
100%, 100%. So look out for the name Jamie Ingram for the rest of 2023. Me and Dan will be back next week with another podcast episode with a coach around British swimming. More will be revealed very soon on that one, but me and Dan will see you in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.